Thank you, Lord, for this word of encouragement. Help us step out into what you set before us. Amen. I really get excited about that kind of a message. You know, being on, that's where living on the edge with the Holy Spirit of God is where, that's where the fun is. That's where the joy is, finding out what God wants and then stepping into that and experimenting with that. Oh, just as a word of reminder then, what was this about? This kind of is a review of last Sunday. What's that? You go first. The you go first part was about encouraging others. And so you go first. It takes somebody to go first, okay? What else does this remind you of?
If you can't say anything that's encouraging, then...
Okay. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. So that was part of it as well. And then the positive. But those things which are meant to build up and encourage and strengthen, certainly to use those things. So that's a little reminder of what happened last Sunday. And for those of you who are visiting, we're just starting into an 8-week series on the subject of encouragement, which was interesting. It was so interesting that through an opening that someone had in our worship service inside, a team of people in our elders just really felt that the Lord was leading us in this direction of encouraging. And in the beginning of this study, we find out that encouragement is such a rich, rich subject. It has to do with what's happened in the past, so encouragement might be a comfort, a form of comfort, where you come along somebody else and comfort them in the struggles that they've gone through, or the hurts, or the pains, or the suffering that they've gone through. That may also refer to the present, where we comfort someone and help someone process and talk about how God's perspective might relate to their circumstances. And then there's another sense in which the word encouragement has to do with the future. And so the word exhort, or to encourage a person in a particular direction, as you encouraged us this morning to act, be bold, that's literally encouragement in a very biblical sense, where we are encouraged to act as for the future. Many times we see encouragement embodied in people, and that's kind of what I'd like to look at this morning, is encouragement as it is embodied in a person. I'm going to take a look at I would call a master encourager, and that person's name is Barnabas. The basic idea that we're looking at this morning is that encouragement flows out of our character. And Barnabas is a person whose character really shows us what encouragement is about. It shows how encouragement is that basis character is that basis from which encouragement comes. It's out of the inner life that encouragement comes. It's out of one's perspective toward life and toward others that encouragement comes. And it's out of a life well lived, really, that encouragement comes. So we're going to take a look at some of the texts in which Barnabas is mentioned in Scripture. We'll read that together, and I will invite you to make some observations. What do you notice, for example, one of the questions, what do you notice about the character or the person of Barnabas as we look at that? And the first reference that we have is in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 through 7. Let's read together. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So what do you notice about this encourager? He's generous. Have you ever been encouraged by generosity? I mean, that's kind of self-evident, isn't it? But we stop to think, you know, generosity is really really one of the easiest ways to encourage somebody. What else do you notice? Gave up something he owned. The apostles
changed his name.
The apostles changed his name. You know, you probably all have maybe some family friend or a friend in school that got a nickname and it stuck. I had one in high school. His name was Tanker. And I asked him one day, how did you get the name Tanker? Because I knew his name was really Floyd. And he said, I tinkered with everything. I tore things apart. I built them back up again. He built his own little race go-karts. It was just a tinkerer. Well, that's because of something that he did. Okay, let's take a look at this person. His real name is Joseph, and he was a Levite, and he's originally from Cyprus. But the apostles call him Barnabas, and Luke interprets this for us, for the readers, which means son of encouragement. How do you get a nickname like that? You're well known. You're well known for what you do and how you are. This is a born encourager. I don't know how you put that in terms of a name for the feminine version of it. It should be something like Batnabas. You know, the bat is like the Hebrew version of where Barnabas. Bar means son, and bat means daughter. There's got to be a feminine version of that. But I think one of them is probably Janet. That name Janet. Janet, I belong to Janet, and she is a born encourager. She breathes encouragement. Two other people that I'd just like to mention because of their ongoing ministry here, and they have ministered so well and often to our youth and mentoring them, Tony and Rob. They breathe encouragement. They have encouraged me so many times. So you get known for what you do. And he got this nickname, a person of encouragement or son of encouragement. He sees a need and he ends up with this nickname that evidences his encouraging neighbor, Barnabas. And he has this practical gift that evidences his encouraging nature. Let's take a look at the next text. Would you read with me? When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So we have this guy named Saul. What's this? Do you know the story behind this? Okay, what's the story? It's a great summary of what happened. This person was a known persecutor. He spared, he held nothing back. He spared no expense to persecute Christians. On his way, God met him in a wonderful, wonderful, amazing way. He converted to Christ and became a powerful speaker. So he's going back to his second home. Tarsus is where he was born. He's going back to Jerusalem, where he was probably trained under Gamaliel. He's going back to his Jewish brethren that he had just left and gotten permission to go persecute people. How do you go back to them? Especially for encouragement, especially for fellowship. For him, the logical solution was to go back to the Christians. They have some concerns. And they have reason for concern. This is the guy that is throwing us into jail, and he's consenting to the death of many of us. Deep, deep concerns. Here's this guy, Barnabas. Somehow he's heard about him. Luke's text here in Acts doesn't tell us how Barnabas heard about him. He obviously had heard about him and heard what he was done. Maybe he saw Paul speak, in fact. But the thing, what do you see him doing then? He believed in him. Believe, what do you think he believed? He saw something in Saul, or who became Paul, that others didn't see. Okay, so a question. Have you ever had in your life someone that you felt like went out of their way to give you some attention that you needed? Think about how important that was to you. For many of us, it's life-changing. It's life-transforming when somebody comes along and you know they don't have any reason to do this, but they see something in you and they walk with you. What a remarkable thing. Anything else you know here? Notice here? Yes. Let's take a look at just a few things. I notice in this text this idea. Encouragers, befriend others. Paul came home to people who were afraid of him, and this guy stepped up to the plate. He defended them. It says Barnabas brought him to the apostles, and he told them all about his conversion, and then after his conversion, how he'd behaved. So he basically gave them his history, since he'd trusted in Christ, and he was making a case for Saul that you can trust this guy, I think. You can trust this guy because he's preaching the gospel. He's not pretending just so he can find out who the Christians are and get them in trouble. He is genuine. And then we see him sponsoring as an encourager. Encouragers sponsor other people. They stand by them. They stay by them. So he sponsored Paul's ongoing acceptance and then service. Very interestingly, in Acts chapter 9, it says, "So Saul stayed with him and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord." Interesting that that comes up. After being encouraged, here he is speaking boldly. He declared, he talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. I just laugh at that. I think probably in general that's true, that the church had a time of peace, but notice where it lies in terms of context. It says, when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galatia, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. I think that's an interesting thing for Luke to note. Because bless Saul, he was all in. He was passionate. He was all in. And it looked like he needed some time to grow up in Christ. Even though he was a remarkably brilliant person and schooled in Scripture, he was a new babe in Christ. So encouragers befriend and defend and sponsor others. He also shows us some other things. Let's read together. Now those who'd been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. What do you notice about Barnabas in this text? Yes. He's an ambassador representing the apostles in Jerusalem, named by them, to these this new thing that's happening out here. Okay? That would be very true as a Levite going to this group of people who were it was true. Okay. They must have thought he was up to the challenge. Oh, this is terrific. So if we look at this too, isn't it interesting that we find him still seeking out those who need support? He did this with Saul. He affirmed Saul, and here he is doing it again. He's affirming those who need support, these brand new Christians. He affirmed it by noting that, he saw the evidence of the grace of God in them, and he was glad, and he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord in their hearts. So he affirms them, affirms what's happening, and challenges them, the people who need support. Let's take a look at another thing that he shows us as an encourager. As an encourager, let's read this description. And I think this gives us the closest description of his person that we find. Would you read together with me? He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. What do you notice about this encourager? He was a leader, okay? He's full of the Holy Spirit and faith. You caught that thing about faith earlier in this description of his character. This is part of, what would you still call it, the character of the encourager. He's full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And genuine goodness.
Genuine goodness. So there's an integrity between his character, how he behaves, what he says, what he does, that people notice. He's consistent. He's full of goodness. Okay. Well, some thoughts that this may help us think about. How do we apply this? He obviously was a person devoted to an integrity of thought, deed, and word. He was a good man. He was a person living close to and in the strength of the Holy Spirit. He was a person given to trusting God in all circumstances. And he was a person living well for the sake of others. That idea of him being such an example that people wanted that, what he had, I think is evidence that there was a witness that he gave of a person living well and yet living for the sake of others. So an encourager, a biblical encourager needs to attend to their interior life, I think, because it is out of character, our persons, that real encouragement comes. It's sensed as genuine and not fake. It's sensed as real and for my sake and not put on. Let's take a look at another of the texts that we have here. And would you read with me? Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, so that for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Things that you notice? He went searching. I find that fascinating. No. Probably he had heard where they'd sent him. And then the church had rest. I don't know. I'm kind of stuck on that idea. But here they are.
Barnabas was a mentor.
Barnabas is a mentor at this point. He takes him in. He seeks him out. He knows this guy has potential. And what we have in the rest of the New Testament tells us the kind of potential that Barnabas could see in this guy. And he brings him up to this place where all these new Christians are, and he lets Saul run with his gifts. Saul knows the scriptures back and forward. He's going to be great in grounding these new followers of Christ. He's going to be terrific at that. And so he just puts him to work doing that. So he acts as a mentor to Saul. And he brings him there, and for a whole year they worked together and taught great numbers of people. Encouragers also partner with others. In this text, you'll see that there was a prophet who spoke a word about a famine that would come, and the disciples in Jerusalem, they all agreed that they should help their brothers living in Judea, and they gathered an offering together and then tasked Barnabas and Saul with the task of delivering the offering. Encouragers also often transition to the people, transition this ministry to the encouraged. They encourage the people they've been encouraging to take the lead. There is a real shift, a transition orchestrated by the Holy Spirit that we find in this passage. You can see the bolded text here. It says, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I've called them." And in this context, in the church of Antioch, these two people were set apart to go minister in different places and share Christ. So this was orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. Okay, the next thing that we see is that it says they traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul who was there, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But this sorcerer opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. So that's kind of the setting for what's going to happen next. And it says, then Saul, who was also called Paul, who was also filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at this sorcerer and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop preventing the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind for a time. You'll be unable to see the light of the sun." And immediately, mist and darkness came over him. He groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching of the Lord. There's an interesting thing here. Who led this time? Who led in ministry? Paul did. Okay. So here we have another thing. Let's see, back here, here's an example where there was a demonstration of the Holy Spirit through Paul. And then we see this transition acknowledged and affirmed by the witness of the Spirit. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed from Perga to Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. Okay? Do you see who's in focus here? Paul's in focus. Where's Barnabas? He's one of the companions, isn't he? Paul and his companions. Now, one of the things about Luke as a historian, this is not an accident. Luke is a very exacting and accurate historian. He's basically recording a transition. In fact, except for one more time in the book of Acts, it's always Paul and Barnabas. Remember, it's been Barnabas and Paul? From now on, it's Paul and Barnabas. Yes? Barnabas and Saul.
This is where Saul's
name changed to Paul. So there's that as well. Thank you. Thank you for that. And then down in verse 52 of chapter 13, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit at the news of what God was doing. Now, this is my parentheses. This is not written in your NIV Bibles, okay? Do you see the parentheses? Why were the disciples filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit? It's because they heard what God was now doing and the way God was doing it. Isn't that neat? They're excited about what's happening in and through someone they deeply suspected. What a transition. It's a remarkable one. And from that time on, what does this say about Barnabas? He's such a neat person. He mentors, he encourages, he realizes that at a certain point, probably, it's time for Paul to fly. And I would just challenge you. You remember I asked you about if you had somebody come along and kind of you knew that they were making an effort to befriend and support and encourage you. There was somebody who did that. Is there somebody in your life you think could use the same, could be the same? The things that you know and the things that you can do and your particular gift mix, do you see opportunities in people that make you want to invest that in them so that in a sense, you could pass the baton of faith on to that next person. And if God wills that they could shine brighter. Yes.
It makes me think back of
Yeah. Let's be Barnabas's like that. Let's continue that. Let's invest in people. Let's encourage them. There's one other brief story I wanted to tell you about. This is the story about kind of a falling out that these two had. Now, these two people, I'll just sum it up here. These two people, Paul and Barnabas, ministered together for basically over a period of 15 years. They were traveling around, coming back, confirming. They always seemed to end up in Antioch, where these new Christians were, and they'd spend some time there and encourage that church as well. And then they'd go off again. And there came a point where Paul wanted to go out on another journey, and Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, his cousin, with him. And Paul did not want to do that. John Mark had left at a certain point in one of those journeys and gone back home. And Paul interpreted that as desertion. He deserted me. He didn't like it. I don't know if you remember, just earlier in one of these texts, it says that John left that group and went home. Okay, John doesn't hear a word from Paul, but Mark does. For some reason, Mark's leaving was experienced as basically deserting what was going on. So it created a difficulty of no small thing. It was a great and serious disagreement that occurred. Barnabas said basically, well, you should go there and I'll go with Mark and we'll do some ministry over here. He sees a second chance for Mark, an important second chance in the life of this person. And don't we all need second chances? We all need second chances. We deeply need second chances, maybe some of us more, because some of us learn the old-fashioned way, the head-hearted way, a hard-headed way. And yet there's potential. And he saw potential in John Mark. And we find later, even Paul saying, do your best to come to me quickly for Demas, because he loved this world. Now he's talking about motivation, a negative motivation. He thinks Demas is sold out. And gone away. So it's a different kind of desertion. He says, he has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. There's a remarkable transformation. What was going on over here? Barnabas was nurturing and encouraging and developing this young man. And Paul eventually gets it. Yeah, he's amazing. It'd be great to have him here in the fray. So those are some of the things that you see in the example of this life of the encourager. We may not have all of his opportunities, but we have daily opportunities. I'd like to tell you a story about an opportunity that I had recently. Now, you can read the little thing here. Your encouragement may be the only nice thing someone gets today. Be aware of who God puts in your path. Nobody is there by accident. I have made it a habit of whenever I'm in a restroom where someone is cleaning it to say something. And I'm almost always surprised at the reaction when I say something like, that looks so nice. You know, what you do is so important. It makes this room nice for so many people. And that's all I say. And last week, this was my attempt to work on the subject of encouragement. This young man almost fell all over himself. He just stopped, and it was almost like he shuddered for a moment, and he leaned up from his mop, and he said, thank you. Nobody ever says that. So who is it? It's anybody, nearly, that could use an encouraging word. Would you bow with me in prayer? Well, Father, I thank you so much that we have your encouragement first. You speak to our hearts and you help us become more whole and encouraged. We pray that that may be part of what is helpful to others in this next week, that out of the overflow of our hearts and the opportunities that we're able to see, that you would encourage those who really need encouragement this week. Bring us back with joy, full of happiness, about what you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you're dismissed. Go in peace.